Hallelujah. Yes, we should sing because of God's great and wondrous love for us all. You know, as I've mentioned, we are now in that season after Christmas. And I don't know about you, but it's always often one of the saddest times in our family. We're always excited to get the Christmas decorations set up. I always love getting the Christmas tree set up right after Thanksgiving for the very beginning of Advent. And we keep it up through Epiphany. And yesterday, all of our Christmas decorations in our house were down. And it's kind of sad. The great joy and light of the Christmas celebrations, the colors, the happiness, the anticipation, the excitement is over now, right? Not really, because the reason that we celebrate at Christmas is because of the most amazing miracle that has ever happened in the universe. The eternal Word of God, as we heard in the Gospel of John, that is God and was God for all eternity, that is an integral part of all of creation and the sustaining of creation, the fullness of God has become flesh and dwells with us. In Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. In his book, Jesus the Savior Who Knows Our Name, Max Lucado talks about Jesus' name in a really important way. The combination, the Hebrew combination of Emmanuel for the name Emmanuel, and oftentimes in Hebrew names, they're kind of a sentence. They give meaning to the names. They're very important. And Emmanuel is one of those such names. Emmanuel in Hebrew, I'm going to take Max's word on it. I don't remember this from seminary. Didn't have the time to really look it up. Means with us. And El, Emmanuel, El is short for Elohim, which is God. The name Emmanuel, the name that Jesus was called from by the prophets of old, that we celebrated in his birth, means with us God. With us God. God is with us in Jesus. And the eternal Creator has taken on human flesh and form for now, for the rest of eternity. And this is an amazing and powerful thing that doesn't just end after a season on a calendar. Though we have taken down our Christmas decorations, the light and joy and power of Christmas continues with us every single day because of Emmanuel, because of Jesus, the with us God. Now, we could spend every Sunday for the next several months exploring the mystery and the complexities and the consequences and the implications of the incarnation. And we would only then barely begin to scratch the surface. But today, we don't have that time. But I want to look at three quick and kind of dirty implications of the incarnation that have real importance about how we should see and understand and live our lives, and how our lives should be changed because of Jesus' birth, because of Emmanuel, because of the with us God of Jesus. And the first is that in this mystery, in this miracle, in this act of the Word becoming flesh, there is an abiding connection with us. That God that is so far above us, that is beyond our understanding, that we can barely understand the tiny little bit of God that God has revealed to us, that God has forever bound God's self to us. In taking on human flesh, Jesus, who was the eternal Word of God. Now, it's important to understand in John what we translate from the Greek that it was written in to the English that we read, the word is not what we think of like the Bible or written words. It's logos, it's the expression, it's the communication of God. It was how John tried to understand in human language the second person of the divine Trinity, the three in one. And again, like I said, months and months and months and just barely scratching the surface. But it's not a written word. This is Jesus. This is the fullness and expression of God. Taking on human form, that which was before creation, that which was the creator, has become creation and has eternally bound God's self to us. The best way, I think, to think of this that I've seen for us is the wonderful book, The Shack, in which a person encounters God in a difficult moment in his life, encounters the three people of the Trinity. And when this person encounters the God, the Father, it's a large black woman who embraces him and loves him and cherishes him, but doesn't take any of his bullcrap. And the Holy Spirit is this small Asian woman gardening and doing all kinds of things, and it's just a mystery. But Jesus, the Word, was a first century Jew. Wasn't white, but was a human being, just like he was when he was born and lived and died. For the rest of eternity, the eternal almighty Word, the creator of the universe, is one of us. That's pretty significant, this binding of God to us. I mean, could you imagine what God is doing here? It's like one of us looking at a human being, taking a look at a single cell of, I don't know, algae under a microscope side, and just looking at that single cell and saying, wow, that's pretty impressive. I'm going to become that. And forever binding yourself to be a cell of algae. I mean, that's not even the depth, the width, the gap between God and us, between us and a cell of algae. But yet, God looks at us and says that we are worth binding to. The incarnation has tremendous importance when we think that God has forever and eternally bound God's self to us, to our form. It should blow your mind, really. But there's more. There's more, and the psalm that we heard helps us to understand that. Not only does God bind God's self to us in human form, but God does so even though God knows us completely. In Psalm 139, the psalmist starts off by telling us that God knows us so intimately, knows our comings and our goings, the things that we do, the things that we think, before we even think them, the words that we're going to say, God knows them in completion before we even know it. God knows us, and throughout the Bible, we hear this over and over again, that God knows us, having knit us together in our mother's wombs. God knows us and knows the number of hairs upon our heads, knows us completely. Oh, when Jesus encountered a person, he knew all about them. Now, I hope in your lives you have another person that knows you really, really well. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a spouse, but they do not know you as well as Jesus loves you, knows you, and loves you. But Jesus knows everything. Now this might, should, scare you a little bit, because I know all of us, each and every one of us, has things in our lives that we wish no one knew. There are things that we hide and try to keep hidden from others, because if they knew them, we are afraid that they might not love us, that they might not want to be with us anymore, that they would think differently of us. That's just a human truth. But the incarnation tells us that, guess what? You are known completely. There is nothing that God does not know about you as an individual. There's nothing hidden from God, and yet, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves us all. Though we are completely and utterly known, we are loved in spite of that and because of that. Like I said, I hope there is someone in your life, another person that knows you and loves you as completely, and you feel that. But you are also known and loved by Jesus so completely, and more so than that, what that person could ever love you. And that is something to hold on to in your most difficult moments. When you struggle to even love yourself, know that you are known and loved by Jesus. When your life is a mess, know that Jesus still loves you. And that's the third thing about the incarnation that I want us to really think about today. Because it comes to us at a very important time in our lives and in our world. Is that God doesn't love us because we are perfect, because we have things all together and that we're doing such a great job that God wants to come and be a part of it. God came. Jesus came, became a human being. The Word took on flesh and dwells among us because we were so messed up, that we were broken and failing and making a horrible mess of our lives and the world. And into that mess and that brokenness, Jesus steps closer and steps in to that mess. No matter what it is. You know, we have all seen things that we're really glad we're not a part of. Maybe it was a car accident that you drove past and you're like, wow, I'm really glad. Hopefully you didn't make another accident. But we have a tendency as human beings to look at disasters or accidents or messes or problems and mistakes and really kind of have this feeling of, I'm really glad that's not me. I'm really glad I don't have to deal with that particular problem. And there's also, as human beings, we have a tendency collectively, we do this not just as individuals, but as a whole, a culture, a nation, or the whole of humanity, that if there's something that is really, really, really bad, a really big mess of something, we collectively have the tendency to kind of turn our backs on it and just let it be someone else's problem. We do that. It takes special kind of people to look at a mess or a broken situation, an accident, and step towards it. But that's what Jesus does. It's not in our human nature, but it is in the nature of God to step towards the mess, to step towards the broken. And I think this is so important for us in what has been going on in our world and in our lives for this past year. And especially what we saw happen here in the United States on Wednesday. The violence and acts of the storming of the Capitol building to disrupt the normal process of our government is something that I was shocked to see, that broke my heart, that I had that same feeling of, I'm glad I'm not there, because it's scary. But I wasn't shocked because of what I saw happen. You know what? I figured something like that was going to happen, given what has been taking place in our society, in our world, not just for the past month or 4 years, or actually, it's been what's been happening in our society for hundreds of years. It wasn't just the actions of one man, but his words made a major difference. It is the culmination of the mess we have made as human beings. It is the mess that we saw, and let's be honest, our nation, our society, in many ways, is a great big pile of hot, steaming brokenness right now. And it's our doing. Things that we have not dealt with. We've done things to kind of cover that mess up as people. We've turned our backs on it and said it's not there. And that's why we see the violence and the brokenness and the hate and the division in this world and in our country. What broke my heart as I watched was not the details, but because I knew it was happening, I knew it was happening for the same reasons that my heart was broken when I saw the Black Lives Matter protests after the death, the murder of George Floyd. My heart broke for those same reasons on Wednesday, was that we continue as human beings to look at our brothers and sisters, this very people that the eternal creator God looked at and said, I'm going to be one of them. I love them so much. I'm going to be with them, and I'm going to step into their world, into their lives. That's why my heart broke, is that because we look at our brothers and sisters and continue to treat them as less and others. And that we can't figure out on our own how to be together. But in the midst of that shock and that brokenness, the anger, fear that I felt, I also felt hope. Hope that that mess that is, seems so big that I don't know how to fix, I know that Jesus is stepping right into the middle of it. Jesus is stepping closer to it. Jesus doesn't turn his back on our mistakes that we make in our lives. Jesus doesn't turn his back on the brokenness and the mess of our world, even when we keep making it worse. Jesus keeps stepping closer and closer and deeper into it, because Jesus is the with us God. The incarnation that we celebrate in Christmas, it says that no matter the mess, no matter the brokenness, Jesus is with you. Jesus is with us. Jesus is there. And the words that John writes, that the light has shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. That mess is going to be changed. The mess of our lives, of our world, our society will be overcome because Jesus is with us. So I just have one question for us as we think about these mysteries and implications of the incarnation. Why would God do it? What is the reason that Jesus would do this? And what does it mean for us? And I think you know the reason. This is not a mystery. God tries to tell us the answer from every moment of our lives. It's the amazing and wondrous love that God has for us. We might not understand why God loves us so much. The Bible even tells us in a psalm that we wonder, who are we that God is mindful for us? But God loves us because of the wondrous and amazing love and unimaginable love that God has for us. Jesus steps closer and closer to us and into our world. Jesus loves us, capital U, capital S, not U-S, but us, the collective whole of humanity from all time and for all time. Jesus loves the breadth and width of all of creation and every single human being that has ever lived and will ever live. Jesus steps into and becomes them because he loves us. And I hope you feel that love when you need it most. I hope in your moments of brokenness and fear and uncertainty, and we've had plenty of those this past year. We've had plenty of those all of our lives. That you feel this love that God has for you and for all. And know that God is with you. But brothers and sisters, we can't just feel God's love for us. We have to take action. Jesus took action. God took action and stepped closer and stepped into our lives. And Jesus continues to step closer and closer to us and closer to the brokenness of our world that only God can lead us through, and continues to say, come with me. Be with me, for I am with you. Jesus continues to invite us to go further and further with him. This year, at the Church of the Pines here, we're going to take those steps closer and closer. We're going to continue to follow our with us God into the brokenness of our own lives, into the brokenness of our communities and world. We're going to step in to the mess that is all around us. In whatever community you might live in, there are lots of things that we need to step into and that we need to stop ignoring and just being grateful that they're not our problem. There's many that we could choose from. I've narrowed them down to three things, one specific and two general, that we're going to explore this year and figure out. Hopefully it won't take us a year to figure out which one we're going to be willing to dive into, step into together as a congregation, and wherever you might be joining us with, is the issue of medical debt that is affecting all people. And there's ways that we can work on that we can solve that we can address the causes of that. There's also the great issues of poverty right here in our own community, of people who are hungry, who are homeless, who no matter how hard they work, they can barely provide a stable place to live. And in every community, there are issues of racial injustice and inequality. We're going to step into one of those messes together with as a congregation and with Jesus. And we're going to be there in the mess. so that the with us God will show us and the world that we are not alone, and that we can see together the transformation that Jesus is bringing because he has come to be with us. Amen.